Blog Talk Radio.
Maybe you've got a flat tire that's, you know, that's something that's, you know, now because you need your car, you can't, for whatever reason, take public transportation. You drive out in the suburbs and public transportation doesn't work for you. So that is probably truly an emergency. However, if you're in the city and you have public transportation and the bus stop is at the corner of your house, you might be able to, you know, work that public transportation, especially in the spring and summertime in Chicago. It's okay.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your new daily shot of uncommon financial good sense. We're trying something new in February. We're with the start of this new year, and I know it's February, but new year to me, we will be trying something new with the Midday Money Show. As I mentioned earlier, if you caught the previous show, that instead of a one day a week podcast, I'll be releasing our regular Midday Money Show now on Mondays. And then throughout the rest of the week, we'll include mini shots of financial uncommon good sense for you. So today I'm digging back into the Debt Free Divas archive, and I'm going way back to when we first got this party started and I had co-hosts to talk about something that never changes, and that's savings, because that's what I want to focus on this week is savings tips. How do we improve our ability to keep more of the hard-earned cash that we have? Well, first of all, that starts with kind of understanding what you need to do. So I thought this podcast that we first recorded back in 2011, and you will notice there are some definitely current events that go along with this particular podcast about savings, but just looking at the ant, and that's a tried and true biblical reference to the necessity and the benefits of savings and building a savings habit. So we're going to look at the ant and not be sluggards. I will have links to all resources mentioned for this episode, Savings Tips, Learning from the Ants. Head over to my website, debtfreedivas.org.
So, Tabisi, what were you doing last Sunday? What was happening on your side of town?
I remember breakfast. I remember saying, I'm going to wake up early. We're going to be at church on time and the whole shebangity-bang. And I made breakfast. By the time these family got done eating, they were ready to go back to sleep.
Pretty much. I was due to doing it, you know, my regular Sunday routine as well. And it turns out that on Sunday, May 1st, our nation's military was putting a plan together to take out the world's best known evil bad dude. Who knew?
Yeah, that's right.
Knew,
and
right?
We did.
I was like, wow. Yeah, they got Bin Laden. Really? I mean, like, we're just living life on Sunday. Wow. So the Divas just want to express our respect for our president and for the military and for what they do, and just thinking and planning and protecting us so we can go on doing on Sunday and just having our regular day. Wow.
Helping us to have that other freedom. We talk about debt freedom here, but they help to make sure that we are free in this country. So we thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So I was just like, okay. So, you know, I got to thinking, though, I'm like, okay, we can actually learn something from the Bin Laden clan when it comes to personal finances. And like, how am I going to make this stretch and tap into this? But I bet that while the Bin Laden clan was living over there in Abbottabad, or however you pronounce the suburb where they actually caught up with him, that they were just basically doing on their Sunday afternoon probably as well, right?
Pretty much.
And they had no inclination that May 1 was going to basically turn their lives upside down. And so I'm assuming that Osama bin Laden is probably the major breadwinner for that family, and now he's no longer with us. And so I'm wondering, were they financially prepared for this very unexpected event? Who knows? I mean, we don't know. But what if we can learn something from their situation is just that you never know when life is going to throw you a curveball, right?
Or when life.
So while I hope the Navy SEALs aren't after you all, I hope they're not after us, you know, it doesn't take a situation like a Navy SEALs undercover covert operation to really kind of turn your world upside down. And regardless of what's going on, I'm sure there are likely storms with our names on it, right? And just like what was happening over there in Abbottabad, these things can develop just suddenly without a moment's notice. And that's why we really, really need to look to the ant. You know, and that wise proverb tells us to look to the ant because they are storing up during their harvest for leaner times and making provisions for leaner times. And I think that's what we need to do with our emergency fund. So, Tyrese, in a perfect world, now that we made that whole round the world kind of segue, talking about saving in our emergency fund, in a perfect world, what would an emergency, what do the divas suggest that your emergency fund look like?
Definitely, definitely, for the length of time, we suggest that you have 6 months of household expenses stored up, necessary
right.
household expenses, at least 6 months.
Right. Precisely. But, like, 6 months might seem like an overwhelming goal to somebody, right? If I just drop this bomb on you right now, I'm like, okay, you need to have an emergency fund of 6 months in place because you never know what's going to happen. That can be a little overwhelming, and I agree with that. But what does somebody do when they're living paycheck to paycheck, borrowing from Peter and Paul and probably DeMarcus too? what do we really expect? Do we really expect somebody to save up and come up with the 6 month emergency fund?
Just like with anything, you have to crawl before you walk, and
mm-hmm.
Getting out of debt for some is a hike, for others it's a marathon. So we start small, and we'd like to, you know, have everyone pretty much start with what we're considering a mad money fund, a mad money
right.
fund, which is accessible. And has about $1,000.
You need to crawl before you walk, walk before you run. And so with anything, you need to plan, okay? So today we're going to be talking about how to get this party started with your mad money fund, basically. And, again, that's that starter emergency fund, your baby emergency fund, putting that in place just so you can try to stave off some of those little irritating thorn in the side tire, flat tire things that come up, or, you know, air conditioning not working, or maybe we don't expect Tyrese to wake up and have a natural skylight.
Hey.
You know, caused by a tree falling on our roof because of a storm.
That's right.
I've never experienced that, but somebody on this in the show has, right?
That's right, that's right. Yeah.
But, again, you know, just having it, and it's not going to take care of everything. It's not going to make your life drama-free, but having that fund in place and starting with your mad money fund, having that in place is going to take the sting out of some of these life happens emergencies that come up.
Started if you do is keep you from having to grab a credit card for some of these little things.
Precisely.
Oh.
So how do we get started? How do you get started to put away that initial $1,000 fund?
I mean, with everything that we've talked about, the first thing to do is know what's coming in. So get on a budget, know what your income is and what your true expenses are, and get on a budget.
Okay? Remember, people, budget is not a four-letter word. We can't do this. You can't live on a budget month in and month out. You really do. You really take back control over your personal finances when you put yourself on a budget. And I don't want people to think budget is so restrictive. Oh, it's so, you know, snooze, eyes glaze over. No, this is definitely something. This has got to be the initial start to any financial plan. It's putting yourself on a budget.
Or considering it as a spending plan, since we're planning things out here, create your
mm-hmm.
spending plan.
Precisely. I mean, that's good stuff. That's definitely good stuff. So once you have yourself on a budget, then hopefully, you know, we say this a lot, a budget is like giving yourself a raise without getting an extra job, because 9 times out of 10, you're probably doing some kind of mindless spending, and before you know it, your income has gone away and you have no idea of what you've done with that income. And so getting yourself on a budget allows you to no longer have that excuse. You can no longer say, I don't know where my money is going, because you know where your money is going. You're directing it.
That's right. You control it. Don't let it control you.
Right. So, and we're going to talk more and more and ongoing and ad infinitum about getting on a budget, because it is just that important. So, but once you've gotten yourself on a budget, we're going to take for granted that we've nailed that thought down enough, and we've harped on that enough that everybody has accepted the fact that a budget is a necessary part to this process. So once you've got yourself on a budget, then we're going to talk about maybe some other ways that you might be able to scrape up the extra money to throw into your Mad Money Fund before you get started on eliminating your debt and walking through that entire process. So
yeah, so since we really have not had a spring, I know here in Illinois we have not really had a spring. However, we all still do spring cleaning. So that would be one of the first places where I think that we can find lots and lots and lots of money. Spare change.
Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, I mean, how much stuff do we have in our homes and storage facilities that we're not using? You know, that can be money in the bank instead of stuff in your house.
Boxes that you have not opened in ages.
And it might bring somebody else some joy in the process. So you're killing about three birds with one stone.
Here. Yeah. I mean, and this is where you can actually resell some things or turn some things in for gift cards, for locations where you typically go shopping. You don't have to come out your pocket with money because now you have a gift card, things of that nature. So you really can earn some money by just cleaning out your own house.
Right, have a garage sale. Have a garage sale
fun.
If you have a garage. Yard sale otherwise, you know.
And then you, with the garage sale, you can team up with people on your block. I know a couple years ago, DuPage County in Illinois has a huge sale in like one of their field houses twice a year, and any and everybody can be a part of that. Sell your stuff, small discount.
Take some snapshots and put that stuff on eBay.
Yeah, on eBay, Craigslist.
Or if you have maybe some, you know, higher end older items, maybe try some of the consignment shops. They'll be happy. You know, some things that are in better condition. Try some of the consignment shops and let them sell it to you for a small percentage. I even suggested this to a family member that, you know, I don't feel like dealing with eBay. Have your kids take the pictures and create your eBay accounts and manage that, and maybe, you know, pay them a small commission for getting rid of some of the stuff that you're not using anyway. One of the things I want to mention about Craigslist is just makes me think, because I read a story about this recently in one of our local neighborhood papers, that a gentleman was trying to purchase, I think, some telephones on Craigslist, and he, you know, met with the person who he'd contacted. They met, and then the person mentioned that the phones were in her car, and so he followed her to a car, and this was in broad daylight in the middle of downtown, followed her somewhere off to her car, and he was actually robbed. So they robbed him of the cash that he had on hand and his credit cards and some other things. So, you know, although these are good tools for the most part, you definitely want to, you know, be cautious.
Yes.
And I think that's with anything. You know, even going to garage sales or having people come to your home and things like that, you want to definitely be cautious. And so some of the things you might think about with dealing with Craigslist are, you know, never go anywhere alone. So never go to anybody's home or never – if you can, I would really be leery about inviting people to your home, maybe meet in a public place, a Starbucks or something like that.
Yeah, don't go by yourself. And even when you're having garage sales, always try to have more than one person at your house, your garage sale, when the sale is happening, so that you're not alone and people aren't running off with things or, you know, doing something they really shouldn't be doing.
The money that you're pulling in, you know, you just never know. Some, you know, everybody out there doesn't mean us well, unfortunately, you know, such is the life that we live. It reminded me of this guy's situation. Don't follow people off to a remote location. You know, if you say you're going to meet in a particular place, they should bring whatever the merchandise, if it's possible, they should bring the merchandise to you. You guys meet, if you can, in a public central location so that you're not opening yourself up to some of these hooligans and riffraff that are looking to do you harm. But that said, for the most part, you know, I've had very positive experiences with Craigslist. So I think with anything, just use common sense and be cautious.
And Jill, you've had positive experiences with the garage sales, right?
Yeah, I have. I've picked up quite a few pieces just personally, and I'm actually going to have a garage sale either next week or the week after, depends on the weather, but got a ton of stuff here, you know, cleaning out the house, and cleaning out my father's house mostly. So it's amazing.
Are you going to let you have a garage sale?
Yeah, you know, see, you know, and I hate to say men, but you know, men are just like, I throw it away. So he wants to throw everything away. So I actually went through it, and there were just boxes on top of boxes of stuff in the living room. My mother actually used to have a boutique, a clothing boutique, so I found some wonderful pieces from her boutique, I mean, that had never been worn. And so, you know, everything that's old that is new again, so all of this stuff is back in style now. So I've got some really cool pieces for the garage sale. I was trying to keep them for myself, but they didn't all take fit. But, yeah, I found some really cool pieces. So a friend of mine and I are going to have a garage sale. So we're going to do the joint garage sale thing, so we're not alone.
Well, just so you know, she and I were the same shoe size. I hope you didn't.
I found some shoes.
Put it to the side, send me a picture or something.
And you can have them for the low price of.
Right. So, that's cool. That's an easy way to take care of two things. Clean out your house, make some breathing room, and actually build up that mad money fund so that you can put that in place. And once you have your $1,000 in place, you can get to the business of eliminating your debt. So some other ways we have on we want to talk about for developing your Mad Money Fund, if garage selling is not your thing, or if you're like me, you just don't have stuff. I refuse to have stuff, so maybe garage selling wouldn't work for me, but some other things that I could possibly do would be to work extra hours.
At your current job or get another
job
working extra?
Ask for some overtime if that's a possibility. You know, maybe fill in for a young lady that I'm working with now. There was a recent opening, probably an unexpected opening at her school, and so she opted to fill in for the school until they could find a permanent replacement. Great way to build up that mad money fund.
And here's another one. If you have some extra time or some flexibility in your schedule, you know it's summer, which means summer school, kids' activities, they always need people to fill those positions. So, you know, maybe you could sub, maybe you could cover, you know, some of the daytime activities at the camps and things, you know, with kids. And it might be a way to get your kids in at a discount.
That's right. That is.
Another idea would be participating in surveys or focus groups. You know, you have a couple spare hours in a day to give somebody feedback. Everybody's opinionated, right? Everybody has an opinion. So, you know, turn that opinion into some cash for a few quick hours, and that would be a great way, no strings attached, to build up your Mad Money Fund.
Yeah, and the other thing is a few years ago, the advertising boom happened for cars. So if you're driving consistently, you know, miles to and from work, you might want to take advantage of the wrap your car in those vinyl advertisements. They pay upwards of $3,200 for that. Some even provide you with the car because you drive so much, so you will, you won't have to drive your own car. So no mileage on your car to drive someone else's car. Or wrap your car and be paid to drive, you know, they're paying for your gas or what have you. That saves a lot of money. There's a couple different companies, wrap your car, I can't think of the names, but throughout the show, if it comes to me, I'll go ahead and mention those other companies freecar.com is one and myfreecar.com. So some of those cars, and I know I've seen them on the expressway. I've seen them on the streets. Tony, Jill, have you all seen those where people are driving the advertisements instead of them actually being on billboards?
You're kind of a little leery, like, oh, that's so not sexy to have that crazy ad on my car. Just think,
It may not be.
Gas is almost, at least here in Chicago, almost $5 a gallon.
That's
so you'd be sexy, find another way to be sexy.
Yeah, I was going to say, being broke is not sexy either.
That is.
Not at all. It's stressful and it's so not sexy.
That's right. So if you want to get on that budget and add to it, you might want to take advantage of some of these opportunities that we've spoken of.
So here's a question then.
But with the car, before we go to the question, with the car, just a disclaimer, make sure you check with your insurance company just to make sure that they don't consider that a business, because obviously if you're using your car for business, that could impact your insurance. So we don't want anybody having issues with their insurance company behind it. So make sure you check.
Check all the details.
Yes.
So now, here's a question. So I've built my Mad Money Fund to my $1,000 level, and I'm on my way. I'm paying off my debt, and I have an emergency. Now, let me clarify this. Emergency is not a sale at Macy's. Christmas shopping is not an emergency.
Birthday, right. The kids' birthday party?
Not an emergency. All right, we have a bona fide emergency that needs to be taken care of, and we don't want to depend on the credit cards to take care of this. That's why we put the Mad Money Fund in place. What do you do?
Well, once you deplete some or all of your emergency fund, then you got to go back and replenish it, because Murphy happens. You know Murphy's Law? Anything that can go wrong will. As soon as you don't have an emergency fund, something else will happen. So your refrigerator will go out, then the dishwasher will go out. So if you deplete it, build it back up.
I can attest.
So do I stop my debt elimination plan in the process, or do I try to just add in my emergency fund, rebuilding up that emergency fund. I'm sorry, let me be clear, rebuilding that Mad Money Fund.
Mad Money Fund.
Do I stop the debt elimination process in the process, or do I work all of those things together?
You almost have to work them together. What we don't want you to do is miss any payments. Do not miss any payments. So if what you have to do is pay less on your debt elimination plan, and redirect that money to rebuilding your Mad Money Fund, then that's what you have to do. But don't miss any payments. So you may have to redirect. You may have to reduce what you're paying on your debt elimination for some period of time until you can rebuild your Mad Money Fund. And then once your Mad Money Fund is back where it needs to be, back at the $1,000, then you go back and take those funds and put them back into your debt elimination program.
So always make the minimum
payment. Or you can go back and revisit some of the other some of the suggestions we had earlier about building that Mad Money Fund in the first place. So maybe you have another garage sale. Maybe you have another got some more stuff, right? Maybe you do another survey or participate in another focus group or something like that. You know, do you have any kind of windfall checks coming in, tax refunds, bonuses, things like that? If you have anything coming in, maybe you get birthday gifts from mom. I don't know. Who knows? But any additional money that you have, right, you want to go back, replenish that Mad Money Fund, and then get back to the business of doing your debt elimination plan.
Go ahead.
One more question. Where should we keep our Mad Money Fund?
Somewhere you can't touch it.
Exactly. One of the suggestions we do is I have an online bank account, and while I can access it anytime, it takes three business days to transfer money back and forth. So, and I don't have a debit card linked to that online savings account, so it's not something that I can get to easily. So I really have to consider, is this something I want to pull money out of my account for? Is it really that important, or is it something that I can just budget for? You know, can I wait? Can I readjust the budget that I'm working with? So one of the reasons for having your MAP money away from you, maybe you have it on another side of town without debit card or check or anything else, anything that's going to allow you to get to that too simply. You want to have it available, have it liquid, have it accessible, but you don't want it to be something where you can just pull a card out of your wallet and go ahead and satisfy your latte habit for the day.
And not all, let me just say this, not all issues are emergencies.
That's right.
You know, not everything has to be addressed right now.
Well, again, aside from a little fuzzy, I think the information is definitely still very viable, whether you're calling it your Mad Money Fund or whether it's your savings stash or whether it's your starter emergency fund. I don't care what that is. It's important to buckle down and focus on developing that. And it's good that we're talking about this now because a lot of you are getting those W-2s in the mail. You're going to be filing taxes. And if you're the type of person that gets a tax refund, let's focus on something productive to do with that versus just spending it on stuff that's going to be out of fashion in a second or two. So hopefully this was helpful. Again, we'll be trying this new thing. Stick with me. Hope to be back with you again tomorrow as we finish out the rest of this week. And as always, I'm wishing you a great money week.